Hello and welcome to another episode of the Transportation Exchange Podcast, presented by Rush Truck Centers of Canada. I'm your host, Jason Cuddy. And on today's episode, we welcome back Adam Byrich, who's account manager here at Rush. Adam, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So we had you on before talking about, you know, heavy haul application and just kind of an overview of what we have product-wise. And today I thought we'd dig into a little bit deeper kind of application by application, which truck, what model, what specs and features, you know, to help kind of people walk through how do I spec it, what's changed, what are some trends we've seen. So, you know, I thought we'd start off kind of right off the bat with a tractor, heavy haul tractor. If I'm looking to get into this world, what am I looking at? You know, powertrain. Start there.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the heavy haul side of things for Navistar, we'd start with the HX chassis. So, be it the 620 or 520, if you're looking for a shorter turning wheelbase or a longer turning wheelbase, getting more weight on the axle and getting yourself in compliance with SPIF.
Gotcha.
So, we'd start off with the HX chassis as the bare bones, and then we'd throw in basically a Cummins X15 powertrain. Usually, we run the performance series on heavy hauls. Guys like it that you can, you know, play with it. You can bump up horsepower in the long run. You can tune it a little bit more compared to the productivity or the economy style classes. With that being said, on the performance series, guys usually are running the 565 horse, 1850 foot-pounds of torque. You can bump it to 2050 foot-pounds. Okay. Or you can go even up to 605 if you really want that big boy power. And then we usually pair it with an automatic transmission.
Okay.
The stigmatism, you know, of keeping the manual and the big shifters and whatnot. Yeah, there's still some guys that want them, but as you know, finding drivers is getting harder and harder, and we find that there's a big transition to the automatic stages. So with that being said, anything that's usually, if you have a gross combination weight of, you know, under 140,000 pounds, or up to, I should say, I guess, 140,000 pounds, you can run an Allison transmission. Six speed, you know, tons of pulling power. Anything over that, we'd have to switch usually over to an Eaton Endurant XD.
Gotcha.
They just released the Pro last year, or this year, I should say. Awesome transmission, lots of features and functionalities now. A lot of guys like the 18 speeds over the six speeds. They find like they're getting better fuel mileage on it.
Okay.
Whether or not which one's true, it's more driver preference.
Right.
Both are great. The new Endurant XD actually has this cool thing with, you remember with your manuals, even in a car, you can kind of roll it out of a snowbank.
Yes.
Well, they got this thing called the Rock Free Switch now, which gives it the same kind of programming and feel to rock yourself out of a hole.
Okay, cool.
Truck stock.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I guess, so we've got that. We've got some powertrain going. We got transmission. What are we pairing that to as far as the axles?
Yeah. So axle wise, I mean, Navistar offers Dana and Meritor axles. The most common one is Meritor, and the reason behind it is back in the day there was these axles called Rockwells, and Rockwell actually got purchased out by Meritor, and they're known for the big round diff cover on it. Guys love them. They're reliable and whatnot. Usually for heavy haul tractors, we're going anywhere from a 16 to a 20,000 pound front axle and 46,000 pound rear. For suspension, most guys now are going with air suspension just for a more comfortable ride, you know, auto leveling and so forth. We carry the Primax bags. They're an awesome off-road bag, really reliable, but you still got some guys that want mechanical, and
right,
we will join them with mechanical, but I've never really seen anyone not like airbags once they go that route.
Gotcha. And so we've got all that, and obviously a lot of concern when you're calling that much weight is, you know, the frame capacity. Can a frame take it? You know, what are the different options? I know there's double and single. What are you seeing?
So Navistar's done a great job now with basically, I mean, both frame options are available. There used to be a lot of the single frame can't hold it. Our new single frames are capable of 3.5 million RPM, which is overkill as is. We're running them primarily in the dump truck application, which we'll talk more about later. In the heavy haul family, you'll see guys that are hauling the big, you know, oversized, overweight permit loads. They're double framing it.
Gotcha.
The only downside about the double frames, I mean, yes, they go up to 4.5 million RPM, but you have, you know, the Canadian winters, salt, you cause splitting in the long run. So
gotcha.
What you want longevity out of, I mean, if you take care of your stuff, yeah, it's going to last a long time, but, you know, you got to take that into consideration.
Fair. So we've got kind of the underpinnings going. Obviously, the HX model had a refresh recently. Mm-hmm. What's kind of new and improved inside for drivers?
So the HX cab got a full redesign. So we're talking now, we took an LT cab, but just beefed it up. So you got kind of like the style of car doors where there's no clickety clank anymore. You've got the new Diamond Elite interior, which is fantastic. It's got, you know, leather stitch seats, heated and cool seat options, swivels if you got a sleeper, you know, leather wrapped wheels. a lot of creature comforts that guys are wanting. So, you know, and then on the outside, we've come, you know, twin air cleaners, dual stacks, single stacks. You know, you got chrome sunshades, big chrome Texas style bumpers, lots of little creature comforts in that sense. And then also, you know, you got your standard Alcoa Durbrights that everyone loves, and a lot of other, you know, little key things, keyless entry and so forth.
Nice. And a neat feature, at least through Navistar, is, you know, we can put most of that stuff in from the factory, but there is also the ability to add more stuff after the factory before it gets to the dealership.
Yeah. So we got this thing called TSE, which is a truck specialty center. And it's basically literally the building next door to Navistar's the factory line. And you can basically put in special requests. So, you know, steerable lift axles, fixed lift axles for the heavy haul guys, you know, half round fenders, full round fenders. You want a 72-inch air slide for the guys that really got to get the weight up front. You know, you want to put a hydraulic tank, split tanks, lights, beacons, headache racks. And you can use suppliers even that are in Ontario. They'll ship down to there. Navistar does a great job of, you know, hiring them or, you know, subbing them out and bring them down. So there's a lot of things to kind of free up our shops up here and get the truck over to you faster.
Nice. And then so, okay, so I've got a tractor built. You know, what do I need to put in the back of it? You know, is it dependent on what I'm hauling, like whether it's a float or a live bottom? Like, what are the nuances and differences that we need to consider there?
So if you're doing into like float tractors, live bottoms, end dumps, a lot of those require wetline kits. Okay. You know, for us at Rush, we use multiple suppliers. We use Gear Power over in Mississauga. We use Drive Tech out in the East End. There's guys up north as well. If you're doing, you know, live bottoms, you usually need like a combination wetline kit. If you're doing just, you know, floats, you need only like a single stage. So there's a lot of options like that. Then you got guys that need more flow, less flow, bigger hydraulic tanks, lesser hydraulic tanks. Some guys need extra switches. So, you know, if you're in the heavy haul world and you got this fourth axle, you want that on a switch. The heavy haul world is a little different than your live bottoms and your end dumps, where they're not exactly spiff compliancy because everything is permitted.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you're allowed to have switches and cabs on your float tractors. Not for aggregate, not for live bottoms. It's a different world, and a lot of people get that kind of confused and say, yeah, I can have switches, or no, I can't. So there's a lot of little things there that you could play with, but that would be the key features of making it work.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, so I've got that under control. So say now I'm looking at the dump truck world. We talked about it briefly. Maybe let's kind of do something. Let's walk through, okay, I want to get myself, you know, a new dump truck and work in that. What am I looking at there from model, engine, transmission?
Yeah. So the most common for our dump truck line is the HX620. It's a setback axle, which guys love because dump trucks are in the city a lot. They want a tighter turning radius. Standard wheelbase on those is a 256-inch wheelbase. You know, we're running a 20 or 20.5-foot dump body. We're running a Spiff 23. You know, you're running a 20,000-pound steer axle on it. We usually pair it with a 425 tire. Inside, most of the guys want the fully loaded interior, you know, because, again, drivers are in this truck all day, every day. So, you know, Diamond Elite interior, you know, twin air cleaners, twin stacks, you know, all done up and whatnot. Now, if you're doing, you know, a lot of the dump truck guys are into paving and whatnot, so they need to put the pintle hook on the back to pull, you know, a tag along or whatnot, or even a pony pup setup. There's a lot of options there that you can play with, but that's kind of like, you know, our standard spec. In terms of engine wise, we run a productivity series for that application, usually 500 horse. Some guys really think that, you know, pulling pups and what, they should be at 565, but we've really had great success with the 500 1850 productivity series. Great fuel mileage, great pull and power. I mean, most guys say they burn the tires off anyways with that kind of horsepower. So it's been a great success. And then transmission, 9 times out of 10, guys are pairing it now with the 4500 series Allison. Yes, if you're a long hauler, like aggregate hauler pulling a pup, some guys prefer to go with the 18 speed. But both will do it because you're at that 140 or under, like we were talking before on the heavy haul side.
Right.
Suspension, most guys again now are kind of transferring over to the air suspension too. We're running Primax bags. There is some mechanical guys, and I mean, for reasons, if you're a big like condo excavation guy, a lot of guys like to run the HMX suspension. It tends to give a little bit better grip coming out of the hole in any rough terrain and whatnot.
Gotcha.
So it helps out a lot too. You know, then the other thing we can talk about as well is more so, you know, if we're running a steerable lift axle or a twin steer. And that, again, It works depending on what the application is. Both of them, there's not one that's better than the other. They both serve different applications.
Right. No, that's fair. Yeah, and then I guess interior-wise, similar to what was on the day cab as far as, you know, fit, feature, and options available, right? Because yeah. same product line, and mm-hmm. just comes down to user preference for the most part.
Yeah.
Excellent. And then so from a body point of view, obviously, that is application-specific as well, right? Yeah. So I need to know what am I hauling. Where are we steel versus aluminum? What's the sweet spot of those?
Yeah, so, you know, if you're an aggregate hauler, you know, you're a ton miler, as they call it, you're usually running an aluminum body. Okay. You know, we sell at Rush the Cobra lineup, and we have both the AeroWall and post and panel. Some are for looks. Some you save a little bit of weight. They're both great. They're awesome for getting the volume on your truck. Okay. Now, if you're hauling rubble, dirt, a mix of everything, guys tend to go to the steel bodies. We now carry the Borock lineup, which has been awesome. A lot of guys tend to go in the city. They call it GTA spec.
Yep.
They run a 46-inch wall with a 48-inch tailgate. It's kind of like the perfect medium for all around for dirt, asphalt, all that kind of fun stuff.
All right, cool. And then I guess another application that maybe we see a bit more of, because it adds a bit more versatility, but isn't maybe a common one, is, you know, like the roll-off hook lift setup. And that, I guess, gives us a mix of opportunities for product line. Kind of what are you seeing guys are going to from that world?
Yeah, so we're still running, like, depending on what you're doing on the big side, we're still running HXs. And it varies from if you're doing tri-axle, tandems, or single axles.
Right.
Right now, you know, same thing for, like, the dump truck. I'm kind of running the same kind of spec in terms of engine, powertrain, and suspension for, you know, roll-offs. Now, if you're going into tandems and singles, it's just basically it's now comes down to motor and wheelbase.
Gotcha.
Transmission on the MVs and HVs that we offer. HVs we're usually running in tandem spec, and then MVs we're running in single axle configurations. Usually on the HVs, you can either run, well, now it's transitioning, but we had the A26 and the HV613.
Right.
And now it's switching over to the S13, which is going to be really exciting to see out on the road shortly. There's also the ability to run the Cummins L9 and the HV607, which has been a truly well-built engine. Lots of guys have them on the road. And on the MV, you can go from the B67 Cummins or the L9 as well. You can really make some big horsepower on it. In terms of transmissions on those two units, most guys are running a 3000 RDS. It gives you live PTO capabilities, which is awesome. For those that don't know, it's basically, you know, allows you to back up while your truck's in gear to get under that bin, which for most bin guys that are getting into the business, they go, well, I don't need to roll under your truck. Well, if you're working on somebody's really high-end driveway and you know, you drag a bin by accident, scuff one up, you're going to be paying a big price to repair it. So better to have that kind of capability, you know, the PTO provision for, and being able to roll under the truck.
Gotcha.
You know, and then if we're comparing between roll off and hook lift, there's a lot of, you know, question on what should I do? Should I do a hook lift? Should I do a roll off? Because both are in the bin business. Some guys, you know, you're still seeing running around with the common rail system, you know, from John and Sons or Capital. And then you have other guys that are transitioning to like the Atlas Polar high up hook lifts.
Right.
Both have a purpose. If you're in the bin business and you're running anything from basically a 5 yard up to a 50 yard bin, you can basically make a triaxle do all those bins together.
Gotcha.
But if you're not in the bin business if you're not in the bin business and you're just, you know, looking for a great system, the hook lift is nice. The only downside of, I'd say, the hook lift versus the roll off is that you're limited to bin lengths.
Okay.
So your truck's going to be used to only carrying, you know, if you're, we'll use triaxles for comparison speaking, but you're only going to be running like a 20 and a 40 yard bin on a triaxle setup. You can't go into the 5 or 10 yards that your standard roll off would be.
Gotcha.
But on the plus side, you can parallel park your bins. You can do a lot of easy pickups and stuff where it's handy. So it really depends on what you're doing. I sell a lot of hook lifts to guys that are in the excavation demolition game because they're allowed hook lifts, which is funny, is roll-offs aren't allowed into a lot of dump sites for dirt because the way they're shaking their bins out, they don't get a proper dump angle. Guys got to come out, open the swing doors and all that. Well, as the hook lifts, you can go into dump sites, which usually pisses off the roll-off guys when they get turned back. So
Fair. Yeah, so it really comes down to application specific and what you're trying to do and really understanding the market you're playing in and then figuring out the sweet spot with regards to that.
Yeah.
So from product-wise, you mentioned a couple, like who are the kind of the companies companies that offer kind of both options.
Yeah,
that
we play with in the GTA or Ontario, the biggest guys for roll-offs, you know, is John and Sons. They're over in Oakville. You've got Capital as well. That's in that side of town. On Trucks is out west. There's a few other smaller guys that are getting into it now. For the most popular hook lifts in the city, you got Atlas Polar, you got Palfinger, you've got the Swap Loader by Drive Products as well. And there's a couple other guys that are also entering the game, but those are kind of like the big names that you see rolling around everywhere.
Gotcha. What I find is when you get into application, you know, especially when we're speccing a truck, it's nice to pull those guys in, right, and have them talk with the customer and say, okay, what's your application? Because they, you know, they'll see current trends, or they'll have a different model line that's come out, right? And then they'll help you spec the truck out too, right? Yeah. Make sure you've got the right wheelbase, make sure the axle ratings are, and they'll do the whole weight analysis for you,
100%.
Right? So make sure that, okay, if you want to run a certain yard bin in this application, you know, maybe we got to move from a Tritium to a Tandem or whatever it is you're trying to do, or, you know, find that sweet spot. So it is nice you can pull them in and have them do that part of it as well.
No, absolutely. And one of the nice things too, I tell guys all the time when speccing trucks, because they go, how do you know, like, which one's better? If I'm going to hook lift, you know, is it better for me to go Atlas Polar or Swap Loader or Palfinger? And I go, always, guys, the best thing to do, even though there might be one brand that outdoes the other, the best thing is just to find out what supports you the best. If you're out west in Brantford, you're probably better to deal with the FRF.
Right.
If you're out in the East End and you're close to Atlas Polar, well, they're probably the best guy because they're around the corner from you. Things break.
Yeah.
And you need support.
You need support, right? And that's the thing, is just having a good support network with the vendors that we use and the products we support, plus with Navistar directly as well. So good point. Well, hey, look. Thanks for coming in, kind of doing a walkthrough of the different application. We get to the heavy spec, certain things to consider and look at, and kind of what the trends are that you're seeing. We really appreciate it. Hopefully it gives everyone a general idea of looking at a new truck or a certain application or getting into a different application, things to be asking and to be considering. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Excellent. Well, hey, that concludes today's episode. We want to thank Adam for joining us, and to catch up on past episodes, check out transportationexchangepodcast.ca. Until next time, thanks for listening.